And it's going to be great because I haven't had live music on this show for 18 months since we had COVID. Always great having live music in the studio. And so you're the first. It's Ali McQueen. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. We've been having a little chat off air.
Indeed, just a little one.
And a little bit of a warm-up. Can't wait for you to hear the track in a while. So before we get to hear you live, when did you first get the music bug?
About when I was 12. You know, it was hearing my cousin play Wild Thing on the guitar. That was quite an inspiring bit of action. And then seeing, I suppose a bit earlier, seeing Elton John on the Muppets doing Crocodile Rock.
Oh.
Like that, and the Muppets. And, you know, that was the thing, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I just saw that and I was like, yes, that's it.
And did you pick it up really easily or was it a struggle? Because some people pick up instruments really without any problem at all.
Yeah, it did come really easily, like just hearing it. I've never learned any kind of music. It was just all picking it up and hearing it, basically. And, you know, which has always been helpful, as my parents had like a piano in the house, an old piano. So I just picked that up and did that all by ear.
So are they musical, obviously, as well, or is it just... Because every family used to have a piano years ago.
Yeah, but no, absolutely, there's no musical talent whatsoever.
Just
like,
you.
In my family. Yeah, but just me, yeah.
Just you. What influences your music, or what did you grow up listening to, as in that's influenced the way that you write now?
I guess, like, in my house, there was always a lot of Beatles and Elton John, you know. And then, like, Kink, a lot of 60s stuff, like Kinks. But then growing up, it was obviously, you know, the late rave scene, but the start of, you know, the Stone Roses. And, like, when I heard She Bangs the Drums coming from my sister's bedroom, I was like, yes, that's it. That's what I want. That I want to create that sound, you know. And so then that fed into Britpop and, you know, the post, you know, grunge as well was, like, completely massive for me. So just that... mixture of grunge and, you know, indie and Britpop.
So where did you start with actually doing music professionally, or going, did you start solo and then go into a band?
No, I was, because, you know, growing up, I was like 15, 16, being in bands in Dunstable and like Bedfordshire, where I grew up. And then the biggest next door to us was Luton. That was another, there was a bit of a music scene around that. So I was playing gigs around there. And then this other band with these guys called Bowfinger, who were like 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, you're a good guitarist, you know, come in with us.
Yeah.
So I got an education in the various senses.
Yes.
So I had 3 years of playing with them in a band, and then went to university, joined another band. Then we, you know, university finished, we split up, and I came down to London, started to do a lot of band and solo work. But then recently I was, you know, doing a lot of solo stuff, recorded everything in a studio solo, but, you know, I think I really had to get a band together.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, do it justice live.
And we're going to talk about the band in a while. You had a health scare. I know that I've read it on your EPK. During that, were you able to do any music at all, even in the recovery? Were you able to sort of get ideas going, or did it basically just knock you for six?
It kind of knocked me for six for about, you know, a good 4 or 5 months. I mean, I had like two brain surgeries, one in 2004 and then another in 2013.
Yep.
So every time it was quite a long period of recovery, but, you know, I was still able to pick up a guitar and just noodle away at it.
Yep.
But I do think, like, recently I've been able to conjure up those kind of, you know, maybe what I was thinking back then, or have, you know, how fortunate, I suppose, I'm a, you know, I can still pretty much do everything now.
Yeah.
So, I suppose that informs a lot of things, really.
Did they go through the nose, or did they go through
They really drilled and lifted parts of my skull off. Really had a nice delve in there.
I was just going to say, up the nose, maybe not so bad, but they're delving in, like flipping the top off,
let's take it all
It
off.
Was proper surgery, yeah.
You know, a 22-week period of recovery, just... you know, effectively really doing things slowly and, you know, just eventually getting used to everything again.
Yeah.
Basically.
How do you put a song together? Do you write lyrics down? Do you get a tune in your head, or do you strum the guitar, or is it different every time that you write?
It is different every time. I think sometimes I'll come up with, you know, I'll just be walking a lot, like I did with Loretto, my first kind of track that came out in March. I was literally just... walking around, I saw a bit of graffiti around kind of North Oxford Street way in an alleyway, and it was by this graffiti artist called Loretto. And I just started humming, you know, and that was it. That was the kind of genesis of that song, and you know, the melody really drove that. And so then I went home and wrote the whole song out of that. But you know, it is different every time.
Have you had any real struggles with any songs? I mean, I will ask you if you've got... Actually, have you got an EP coming out, or is there an album coming out? Because I know you just talked about Loretto, which came out in March. That was a debut, and it did really well because you got some really good top radio play from BBC, Phoenix, and other places as well. So have you got like an EP lined up, or is that out now? Or
no, so Loretto came out in March, and I've just released the one I'm going to play today, yep. One of these days, that came out just on Friday. I think there is plans for almost a mini tour and possibly an EP, but that it'll be after the new year now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's things are cooking. Yeah. You know.
Excellent. So have you done like a mini tour? Have you been on with Echo Belly?
Yeah. So that's it. So the band and I supported Echo Belly.
Wow.
Yeah, which was great. And you know, there are a lot of people watching us, and our kind of, you know, vibe really is similar to that. It is like influenced a lot by, you know, late 90s and early 2000s. Mm. So that, you know, there was a, you know, symbiosis there of their crowd and, you know, people who appreciated it really.
Yeah. So tell us about the band lineup that you've got.
So there's a bassist called Jamie, and I played with him at university in the old band there. And we kind of lost touch for a long time. And then when he saw I was kind of putting a band together, he got back in touch. And I said, look, you know, do you want to come on, let's play again? I'd always gotten well with him. Mm. So he was up for playing bass. And the drummer I'd met in my local bike shop, and he was wearing this Vic Firth T-shirt, you know, that they make drums. And I said, you know, do you play drums? He was like, yeah, you know. I said, were you in a band? He was like, oh, not really, in my uncle's band. I said, well, let's go for a drink and then, you know, let's have a chat. And he, you know, he was up for joining.
Yeah.
And the guitarist, Callum, I put on this music night once a year. Wanstead, where I live in East London, has a Wanstead Fringe.
Yeah.
Like a celebration of all its cultural, I suppose, you know, talents and offerings. But someone recommended him because he was a sound guy and has his own PA. So that was useful. And he always played great tunes when he was setting up the PA. And I found out, and he was a guitarist. So then when, you know, I came to need a guitarist, I tapped him up, really.
So when you go into the studio and you've already, do you actually write all the parts, or do you go to the band and go, this is the song I've got, can you add the bass to it? Or had you already done most of the songs?
No, I mean, it's pretty much all me in the studio. I mean, Loretto was definitely, it was all me doing that in the studio. I had a bit of help. I recorded at a place called Buffalo Studios in, it's just about next to Cable Street in Limehouse, by this great guy, J.B. Pillon, and, or Pillon, because he's French. He's such a cool guy. He helped me out on one of these days. He did the bass, he did the slide guitar and the percussion. Just, you know, you've got 8 hours to record. It's a one day thing.
Yep.
So it's pretty much got to be that, yeah, you can overdub it later and whatever and go back to it. But you've really got to get it right that day.
Wow. 8 hours.
Yeah.
I know some people are in and out of the studio for months and months and months. And I think the more, sometimes it's better just to do a song and get it done.
Yeah,
so you can get
totally.
You can get it out there.
Yeah, and it makes you more focused.
Yes.
And, you know, you're not going to prevaricate about anything. Or go, oh, maybe we should do this, you know, maybe I should do that bit of... No, you just do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's not add a cowbell.
Not yet. You can do that. You
know. Now, you mentioned the new release is called One of These Days, which you're going to play in a while. John Davis mastered the track. And so tell us about the song.
So I had, and it's going back to that writing thing. It was completely different. That went through a lot of versions because, you know, I'm signed to this, like in really small indie label called Blaggers Records. So I send it to Alex, the label guy, and he liked it. But he said, oh no, you know, I think we should have a different chorus. So he gave it to a friend who's like, he's a great classical musician. He put this different line, this horn line over it for the chorus. So that I had to almost So I liked that, but then I had to rewrite the song around this great chorus line. Yeah. So it, you know, it went through a lot of changes. And then eventually it developed a theme. And because of, you know, it was because of what's gone on over like the last year, it was a lot about protest and people wanting to change things, and maybe an inequality as well. You know, I think we've been exposed to the fact that there's quite a lot of inequalities.
Mm.
So, you know, people are a bit, you know, angry about that, and they want, you know, they want change.
Yeah.
And equality, you know.
Yeah. Now you're going to play it for us live.
I will do. If that's
and
okay.
Then we're going to come back and just we'll talk about your socials and stuff. So this is Ally McQueen, and this is a live version of One of These Days. That was, nearly said a bad word then. Did you hear that?
It was fantastic.
I saved myself. Fantastic was the word I was going to say.
Fabulous.
Oh, dear. That took my breath away, that did. That was amazing. You've got, your voice is really gorgeous.
Thank you.
And that is, do you know what, having somebody live in the studio when they play like that, it gives you tingles. It really does, because the sound was amazing. So with a full band, I mean, wow.
It does, yeah, it does. It does add a lot. You can't just keep doing solo things. It just doesn't do it justice, you know. Yeah. It really opens it up.
Be a guitarist and be able to play and sing, because you're really free, like today, to come in and basically perform. But sometimes when you go and do venues, if it's just you and the guitar, it kind of, after about five or six songs, things kind of blend,
totally.
You know, into the background. And I think that's why having a band, you can have a couple where it's just you and the guitar, but having the band behind gives a different, creates a different atmosphere, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. And it does. It does create a different atmosphere. Like, we played at What's Cooking in Leytonstone on Saturday night. And even though people there, you know, it's all tables, it's brilliantly done out. And people there are really receptive to it. You know, they're massively music fans. But if you go and play in, you know, the Red Lion right next door to it, yeah, it is hard to get people's attention. It does blend in. Like you say, people get bored.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to get bored of you. Fantastic, Ali McQueen. And if you want to find out more, you've got Linktree, isn't it? So if you go on, you've got your Facebook page. So if you want to give out some of the details, and then people can always click on the Linktree.
Sure. It's, you know, on Facebook, there's a, you know, Facebook, there's all the links to, you know, the Linktree, which has Spotify, Amazon Music and Apple Music. I mean, one of these days was in the top 20 of the Apple Music Rock playlist.
Yes.
Which was great. But, you know, I'm very active. Social, Instagram, Facebook, and you can go and follow me on Spotify as well, because there's two tunes on there, One of These Days and Loretto.
Mm. And what's happening for the new year? Have you got more stuff to release? Are you going to be out and about?
There are definitely going to be more shows, and that there will definitely be another release,
yeah.
You know, just to follow this all up. But that, you know, if you go and follow me on obviously Instagram and Facebook, you know, that's where to find it all out.
Brilliant. Lovely. Fantastic live performance. Thank the Lord that I managed not to say a bad word on air. Because that would have been bad on a daytime show.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And that's great to meet you as well. That is Ali McQueen. And you can find all the details about him online. And the track One of These Days is out now. And you'll find it on Spotify.